Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up, Mitch Moss of Follow the Money will join us. We will go over the NBA offseason, the World Cup, some baseball, 4th of July food. So excited to talk to Mitch. I always say that. Excited to talk to whoever I'm bringing on. Of course I'm excited. I decide who comes on. I wouldn't be bringing him on if I wasn't excited to talk to him. But we'll have Mitch on in a minute. And I will start. Man, I didn't realize I'd be doing so much NBA, but the NBA news just never stops. The shocking trade. Not the fact that Jaylen Brown gets traded from the Celtics. The shocking part, but the fact that he goes to the Sixers, and DraftKings had odds on Jaylen Brown's next team, the Sixers, who are in the Celtics division, the Atlantic, which, you know, basketball people don't really pay attention to divisions, but same division, same conference, obviously 100-1, the longest shot on the board. But that trade happens, and the return, Paul George and a couple picks. Just a shocking is the right word. It was a shocking lack of return, a shocking move, just not only where he ended up, but how little he fetched. And I know, all right, he's a little overpaid, he's a little overrated, all of that stuff is fair, probably true. Still a pretty good player. And to trade him for, boy, not nothing, but next to nothing, just, I can't believe it. I really can't believe it. Not quite as shocking as the Luka trade a year and a half or so ago, but it's the same sort of reaction. Very rarely do you go, just have a 100% almost approval or disapproval rating. And that's really, you go on Twitter, you listen to all these shows, different podcasts, I had the same reaction, texting your friends, everyone, not one person goes, that's actually not that bad for Boston, they did okay. Nobody's saying that. Everyone just kind of in agreement. That's a horrible deal. And it becomes, you know, becomes almost not boring from a content perspective, but you just have the same take everybody else. I love to come on here and go, well, actually, you know, Boston did okay. Or, well, actually, if you look at it this way, I guess if you're making that case, you say, well, it sets up another move. You got picks, and then they can go after somebody who gets along better with Tatum. And that's probably the crux of this. You know, I've been told, and I read these podcasts, I read these tweets on the podcast maybe a few weeks ago, a month ago, and that was Jaylen Brown won't be on the Celtics anymore, and Giannis is going to the Celtics. And obviously, one part ended up being true, the Brown part. But it's not like Brown and Tatum, I've heard pretty reliably, don't get along, and that might be putting it mildly. But and here's the part I disagree with, though. This idea that, well, you know, Jaylen Brown, he was in trade talks for Giannis, so now you can't bring him back. That to me is total nonsense. He's an adult. He's a highly paid professional. He's just, hey, look, dude, we put you in trade talks. You know, we'll get over it, basically. And you could put it nicer than that. But Giannis is a two-time MVP. We're paying you $65, $70 million. I mean, look, Giannis is a better player than you. Would have traded you for Giannis, but that didn't happen. We're happy to have you, and you just patch it up. This idea that he could never play again for the Celtics just because you put him in trade talks, I mean, that to me is crazy. You always hear that, or you hear that a lot with quarterbacks where, you know, well, once you bench a guy, you can never bring him back. He's just completely shattered. These guys are not as fragile. These guys are not that fragile. These guys are adults. These are professionals. I think that gets completely overstated at times, and I was thinking about this too. Just a couple months ago, Boston was minus 2,500 to win that series. Monster favorites against Philly before the series. Huge favorites. Minus 1,500, minus 2,500. I remember doing the pod with JVT previewing the playoffs. So we were saying, man, I can't believe how big a favorite Boston is. And neither of us bet Philly, I don't think. But huge favorites. And up 3-1. They destroy Philly in game 4. And up huge in game 5 at home. Up 13 at home in the second half of game 5. Imagine thinking then they're going to lose the game, then lose the series where they had to win 6 and 7. Philly did 7 on the road, 5 on the road. And then Jaylen Brown's going to be on the Sixers in a couple months. I mean, that turn of events is just stunning. But what's interesting here, I don't know that you find from a betting perspective, I don't know that there's a bet other than you can bet these divisions. Raptors are plus 550. That's a division. The Knicks are plus 120. They're the short shot. But couldn't you see them taking a step back after a title, a little bit of a hangover, regular season's not as important anymore. You know, they're all partying all summer, going on Jimmy Fallon. I could see them being a little sluggish and just not taking the regular season as much of a priority, taking that seriously this year. I could definitely see that. So Raptors at plus 550 will be interesting. But you look at the East, man, it's going to be I think the NBA is going to have some juice. It's going to be a pretty good regular season for the first time in a while, because the NBA regular season has turned into just an awful product. I don't even talk about the regular season, basically, throughout the year. It's football, it's baseball, it's other things. And then we get to the playoffs, you know, start to do it in the post, in the, you know, the postseason and the offseason is about as fun as anything. But I think they'll have a good play, a good regular season. Look at the Eastern Conference. Knicks and Celtics, I'll just go by the odds. Knicks plus 320, Celtics plus 425, Sixers plus 750. This is to win the East. Pistons, who were the one seed, plus 850. Raptors 9-1, Heat 9-1. That's six teams right there. If you draw the line there and assume that those odds are correct, which I'm not sure they are, you're going to have, you still have the Cavs. So somebody, the rest of these teams, somebody's got to be in the play-in from this group going forward. Cavs, Pacers, Hawks, still a pretty good team, up 2-1 on the Knicks. That looks better and better. Magic, the Hornets, who everybody loves, young, they were really good. I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics fall into that play-in mix. I know if you look back the last few years, they've actually done pretty well when Jaylen Brown has been out of the lineup, but it's going to be a pretty competitive race to be one of these top six teams. There's going to be some pretty good teams in the play-in. So the best bet out of all this stuff, to me, Raptors plus 550. Now, who knows how many games you're getting out of Kawhi, but that should be a pretty good regular season team. You know, hungry, good defensive team. I like the plus 550 price tag on the Atlantic. You can find that at DraftKings. Before we get to Mitch, haven't talked much Yankees. What a mess they are right now. I'm sure they'll be fine. I would imagine they'll get back on track, but Judge is a long way away. Not sure when Stanton's going to be back. Freed, all these guys missing, and they stink defensively. Volpe, I've seen enough Volpe. I've seen enough Wells. You know, the bullpen's an issue. They're just not hitting right now, and they are really, really a tough watch. But the positive for the Yankees, the cure-all, not just in recent years, but going back decades, the Minnesota Twins are coming to town. So that's how you know, that's how you know if you're in a slump. If you start losing games, especially at home to the Twins, then it's really panic time. But I would think the Yankees, you know, 4th of July weekend here, finally get back on track, get off the schneid. Cole has not been good the last couple starts, but he will take the mound on Friday night against Paredes. And that's just what the doctor ordered with the Twins coming to town. So it's not been pretty to watch. I think they'll still win the division once you get in the playoffs. And this is the thing, whether you win, and the Yankees don't have the trust of their fans. So if you win 110 games or have just a dominant regular season, people are still going to say, you know what, let me see it in the playoffs. Haven't won in forever, which is fair. And it doesn't matter how many regular season games you win. You got to do it in the playoffs. And then if you struggle in the regular season, people can say, well, those are their flaws showing. So Yankees don't have the benefit of the doubt just with recent postseasons, just frustration from the fans. Right now, man, minus 120 to win the division, I actually think that's pretty playable. I think they'll be okay. I think they'll win the division. It's interesting how many ups and downs they've had and the Rays have had, and it seems like the Yankees' runs come with the Rays cooling off and vice versa, where the Rays get hot and the Yankees cool off, where the Rays were up like six or seven games that Memorial Day weekend. Yankees won a game to, I think, that walk-off with Judge, that home run that Sunday to avoid being down like seven in the loss column. And then the Yankees got hot, and it looked like the Yankees were going to run and hide in this division. Yankees got up to like minus $5 or $6 favorites. Now it's back to basically a coin flip between them and those two teams. I think the Yankees will be okay. And actually, I like the Yankees at minus 120 to win the division. I think they'll be okay in terms of winning the division. Once you get in the playoffs, who knows? They're better than all these other teams, but this idea that they're just a lock to go to the World Series is certainly not the case. They are flawed. It's always the same thing with them. Defense, base running, you know, Boone doesn't hold anyone accountable. You know, the Jazz Chisholms of the world eating blow pops in the infield, all those things kind of drive you nuts. So I do like the Yankees to bounce back and win the division. But coming up, Mitch Moss, we'll talk some soccer. We'll talk some NBA offseason. We'll talk some baseball. What he's eating 4th of July? I know his wife's a chef, so he's always got good food ideas and good suggestions. So we'll talk to Mitch about all of that. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we're back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You catch him, Follow the Money, Pod to the Future. And on this podcast, occasionally he's kind enough to join us once again. It is Mitch Moss. Mitch, thanks for coming on, man. Plenty to discuss. Usually July, this is kind of the dead period. You got to piece stuff together from a content standpoint. But between the World Cup and the NBA, just nonstop transaction cycle here, we've had plenty to do, plenty to discuss. How's it going?
Doing really well, man. I totally agree. Typically at this time, now we are obviously a couple of days into July as we record this, I have more college football and certainly more NFL bets. And I have a handful of NFL bets at this point for futures, but just because I'm completely riveted on like an hourly/daily basis with the World Cup and Team USA, and I have the fever, and the NBA offseason is always magical. Like I don't have a lot in the portfolio, and that's going to change obviously, but it's also going to be one of those things where if you're really into the World Cup, And I can't wait to see the ratings again for the game in Santa Clara on Wednesday night with all that drama and the ridiculous red card and everybody, even if they're on vacation, taking time out of their way or taking days off to make sure that they can watch these games. It's going to be like, okay, World Cup is here. It's nonstop. And then, oh, by the way, it's like August. You're like, do we have time to breathe all of a sudden before the football season starts? And I think it's going to be great.
Absolutely. And I want to just at least touch on all of it. I'll start, though, with what I started my show with, Jaylen Brown. I mean, it's not quite the Luka trade, but the reaction is similar to like, wait, that's all they got back. I'm sure. And I haven't heard too many people, and usually on Twitter, you get some contrarian take, and usually it's just being contrarian to be contrarian. Can you make the case that Boston did not screw up here and get royally fleeced?
No, I really can't. I mean, especially when you consider what the picks might be in the future and how they essentially have to root against San Antonio in 2028 in order to get to did you see that? The best of the picks? I mean, that's so they have to root against Wemby and that core in their prime in order to like get the best value from the trade. And that is just now you're rooting for injuries to happen on San Antonio. Otherwise, it's just I think it's a complete debacle. And oh, by the way, Paul George is 36 years old. Boy, he's a nice player. But my good God almighty, would you even rank him in the top 50 players in the NBA today? And then all things considered with how often he misses games and he was good in the playoffs at a decent run, but you can't rely on that guy at all. And I do agree with Jaylen Brown. This, I mean, individually speaking, this was easily his best season. And I think they got taken to the woodshed on this deal.
I thought one of two things. Either, you know what, just keep him. Okay, him and Tatum don't get along. They're adults. I don't buy this idea. Well, once you float him in a trade room where you can't bring him back, nonsense, they're adults. Yep. He's getting paid a lot of money. So you know what? Hey, let's have an adult conversation. Giannis is a better player than you. You're a really good player. You mean a lot to us, but we had the conversation. We kept you. We patch up and move forward. And you know what? If it's untenable, maybe you trade him down the line when the season starts. Or just, you know what? Throw in the extra pick or two and get Giannis. If that, those are the options. If you know what? We're not going to do the Giannis deal. We don't want to throw in, you know, the Hugo Gonzalez. We don't want to throw in the extra pick. Fine. But if this was the alternative, you know what? Throw in the extra picks. I can't believe this is the conclusion they came to. And Stevens is a sharp guy. So that makes me think, you know what? Maybe you're missing something here. But man, it really is puzzling, isn't it?
I mean, and I'm glad you brought that up too. Like, do you think that people who agreed with Brad Stevens by not wanting to include Hugo Gonzalez and or Shireman in the deal for Giannis, again, like Boston media backed that up, said, I trust Brad Stevens. Do you think they're feeling good about that today? Like they were I'm telling you, like one of, or if not both of those players must have an immediate impact on the team starting next year. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Like Hugo Gonzalez needs to play 20 plus minutes a game. And he's got to be a kid that you, when you watch him like from night one, you're like, yeah, okay, they made the right move there. But not otherwise, I mean, what are we missing here? It was a complete flop, I think, by Boston.
Finding the six playoff teams, the top six seeds in the East, is fascinating. Knicks, Celtics, Sixers, Pistons, Raptors, Heat. Those are the top six in terms of odds to win the East. Cavs and Pacers playing. Hawks still a pretty damn good team. Magic, not a bad team. And didn't even mention the Hornets, who were basically as good as anyone from January 1st on. How do you sort of sort this? And is there a bet to be made here ultimately in the East or any other market?
Well, I honestly think that the two teams that benefited the most from what happened with the Celtics and the 76ers and also the Giannis deal are two of the teams now at the top. I think it was, even though they lost Mitchell Robinson, like, look, that's a lot of money to pay a guy that you can barely have on the court at times because he's so bad at free throw shooting and like really had no answer for Wemby. He needed some help there. So I thought that they benefited from the move inside their own division and also another team in the Atlantic. And I was not ultra high like on Toronto after they made the move for Kawhi. I liked the move for Kawhi. I have some question marks about, or some certain, you know, some big time questions about the overall roster. Like they need some more depth. I think they need 3-point shooting. They need scoring overall. Defensively, they're going to be amazing. But I think Toronto also benefited. So I think the Knicks and the Raptors might be the two best teams at this point. I also can't rule out the Pacers. Like, let's pretend that they get Halliburton back to 100%, a team that beat the Knicks the previous 2 years in the playoffs and took Oklahoma City to a seventh game. And maybe they win that game if Halliburton doesn't blow out the Achilles. So, and I think Atlanta could be a player as well. And they might have something up their sleeve as well in the offseason. Who knows? I know a lot of the big names are gone at this point, but certainly I want, I mean, the Celtics right now I'm looking at are plus 440. Are they even a certainty for the playoffs next year? Like a top six team? I don't know about that. So couldn't take them. Like I said, the Knicks and the Raptors at the top. The Cavaliers are intriguing. I like them. No thanks on the Heat. And maybe the Pacers or the Hawks.
Division odds are up, and division's always, you know, that's more of a baseball and football thing. I know you guys actually do a good job of talking about that market, and you can find some value there. Atlantic, like you said, fascinating, because all these teams in the same division, Knicks, Celtics, Sixers, Raptors. Raptors are plus 550. You know, the Knicks are the short shot at plus 120. I mean, the plus 550, could you see a little title hangover for the Knicks? You know, sure. What? We won our title. Regular season's not as important to us. Remember, they were a 3 seed this year. Celtics, obviously, a step back, and then you got to compete with the Sixers. But Raptors at plus 550. I don't know. Would I be able to talk into that?
Absolutely. Something else you like? Yeah, I'm on board with that. I totally agree with what you said about the Knicks. And I think fans have to be okay with that. Like, hey, guys, you won the championship first time in 50-plus years. There's a little bit of a title hangover. And as, like, aging teams do eventually, they realize we can kind of punt a little bit on the regular season. We can get to 3 or 4. It doesn't... Like, we don't have to win 62 games and be the 1 seed. And that way we're going to be ready for the playoffs and make a deep run at that point. So I think that Raptors bet would be based on how many games are we going to get out of Kawhi. And I thought Kawhi was a top 5 player in the NBA this past season. He's getting up there, mid-30s, obviously, so he's no spring chicken. But if you told me right now that Kawhi was going to play 70-ish games, then I'd say, yeah, fire on Toronto to win that division.
What team does LeBron go to?
Golden State.
Does that do anything for you in terms of a bet? Does that move the needle? I mean, fun. I mean, that's two iconic. Say what you want about LeBron. That's two iconic players, and their games kind of match. I mean, it's probably, not probably, it probably is, you know, 3 or 4 years too late, but it's still LeBron, Curry. You get Butler back. I don't think it's a team of winning a title, but they're fun if nothing else. I don't know. What would your take be if that is the eventual fit there?
Well, so I got to tell you, the Golden State Warriors have been on local TV out here, like in Las Vegas. I say local TV. I mean, if you stream and you get YouTube or you get Hulu, whatever, their games are on. So, and I lived in the Bay Area for a couple of years before they really took off. Curry was still had the ankle problems. This is around 2011, 2012, 2013. And I went to some of their games. And even when they were bad, like that place would get 17, 18,000 a night. And it was just an awesome basketball city. So I've always had like for many years now, soft spot for the Warriors, watch their games, love Curry. I will watch as many games as humanly possible next year if they get LeBron. I'm intrigued by it, how it's going to look. I don't think I'm going to get there with a bet, though. I mean, because look at what they're going to have to do in the Western Conference. I think Minnesota is actually very intriguing. I love Utah this upcoming year. And then Oklahoma City and San Antonio got better. So what's the ceiling for Golden State overall? Could they be, again, if the biggest if there is Curry's health. If Curry's healthy, he's still one of the most impactful players in the NBA. You're going to get a bunch of games out of LeBron. If Jimmy Butler comes back and he can give you something off of that injury with Draymond, like, I don't hate it. I think they could be a top 5 seed maybe in the West. But I don't, how do they get by the teams at the top in the Western Conference if they don't have injuries? I can't imagine that would be a thing.
Yeah, I was thinking that with the Lakers too. And we'll get your thoughts on what the Lakers did, because Lakers are going to be good. I mean, you're out of outs, you're out of ways to get better, but you're going to run into this conversation with all these teams that are good. You say, yeah, they're good, but then the ... is a but, and you can win a round, but outside of winning a round, if you're saying they're going to win two, that's beating one of the Spurs or Thunder, unless the Spurs or Thunder end up on the same side of the bracket. So that's just where I run into it. It's like, all right, Golden State, they can win a round. The Lakers can win a round. But other than that, it means you're beating one of the two big boys. And barring injury, which look, injuries happen in the NBA. OKC might have been in the finals and might have won it if it weren't for injuries. But that's what you're dealing with. Did you have a problem with what the Lakers did? Again, I think Kessler's a nice player. He's a nice fit with Luka. Little overboard with the picks and the money, and I just don't know what the upside is. But what was your take?
Again, another team that I'm intrigued by. You still have to remember that they have Luka, and Luka is one of the best, 3-4 players in the entire league. I mean, his peak, his ceiling is obviously best player and to win the MVP. So they're going to be fun. They're going to be maybe a little bit deeper. I'm intrigued by guys like Grimes coming over, getting Sexton in the deal as well. And I like Walker Kessler. I really do. But he played 5 games last year. It's how they got to this point, Will. And by giving Grimes $60 million, which is absolutely outrageous, and then to break the bank for Kessler and to give up that many picks, I gave it a grade of an F. I mean, you could not have had a more disastrous path to getting these players. And again, that said, I want to watch them play. I think they could be like a top six seed potentially. They're probably going to score playing like these very high scoring games overall. But they have, their ceiling is to maybe win the first round, and that is it. I mean, could they win that division? I guess they could. But other than that, what are they going to do once they play a team like Oklahoma City or San Antonio, or maybe even if Denver could put something together here in the offseason? And I don't think the Lakers are better than the Jazz. So fun to watch, but no thank you. I'm not going to put anything on them in my portfolio.
It's not going to happen this summer, obviously, I wouldn't think, but I'm thinking, maybe it's wishful thinking. I hope Jokic finds a new team. That team's gotten stale around him. Doesn't seem like the owner wants to spend a lot of money. That always annoys me as a fan when these guys are billionaires and don't want to spend. Could you picture, you know, 2 years from now, if we're doing these podcasts together, is Jokic on a different team or is he still on the Nuggets?
Sure, he could be on a different team. Now, he seems like he's super loyal, but what other foreign player felt that way for his entire career until this offseason? It was Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I think that there are parallels here, certainly between both guys, and that is Milwaukee, in my opinion, from that state, lifelong Bucks fan, they completely whiffed almost every single offseason on how they put together the team around him with coaches and with the players and the makeup of how old the team was, and they just got rid of the wrong players, and they never knew how to fully like maximize Giannis's prime, which just sucks because he had a prime, and if he's healthy, he's still in it for like a decade. And he is maybe the best, along with Aaron Rodgers, like the two best Wisconsin athletes I've ever seen, we've ever had out of that state. So it sucks that he's gone. But I think it's kind of the same thing in Denver, right? Where they just never really knew how to put together the team around Joker. And they kind of wasted his prime. And if you think about both of those players only making it to a combined two NBA finals, and they both, that's absurd to me. That people think that would be acceptable. So yeah, in a year or two, Joker is still probably going to be playing at a super high level, and he's going to probably say, well, what are we doing here? You flopped every single offseason. Our team sucks. And meanwhile, the West has gotten better. Yeah, trade me to a different team so it's best for everybody involved.
Switch gears here, World Cup. Three matches on Friday. Egypt minus 140 to advance over Australia. Argentina, huge minus 2,500 favorites to advance over Cape Verde. And then Colombia, minus 450 favorites to advance over Ghana. Anything you like in these three?
Well, Ghana scares me. I'd say rather than like an individual game, I like Colombia minus 110. You can find it, I think, even around like even money to make the quarters. And then they would take on Argentina in theory. I like their path quite a bit. Ghana, again, I'm a huge fan of these African nations. Well, they're fascinating to watch. I think they're all almost very good. So I like Colombia to advance there. And I guess, what do you want to do? You just want to look at Messi to score a couple of goals? The Golden Boot clearly is going to mean something to him. And Mbappe put two in his last match. And Haaland scored again. You had Harry Kane with two. This guy has scored in seven straight matches. You're not going to get any great value on him to score one. Why can't he put two in?
Yeah, and it seems like these square goal scores, these short shots have gotten home in a lot of these matches.
There's no reason to fight it, right?
Go ahead. I know. Yeah, if you can't beat them, join them. Mm-hmm. U.S. basically a coin flip Monday night to advance against Belgium. Up to minus 130 now at DraftKings, Belgium plus 105. So U.S., as you'd expect, has taken some money, the patriotism, the enthusiasm. Look, I've been saying, hey, if you're from a betting value standpoint, you got to probably bite the bullet and fade them. I took Bosnia plus a goal and a half. That did not end well, but I'll get your thoughts here. What are you expecting here Monday night, 8 o'clock Eastern?
Okay, so we were live on the air for Follow the Money during that Belgium-Senegal match. And as that game unfolded and eventually Belgium won, I thought to myself, well, I think this is going to be a break for Team USA because Senegal, to me, was clearly the better team than Belgium. I think they're clearly the better team overall, and I think Senegal would have been a more difficult matchup for the U.S. That was quickly negated by the red card, the ridiculous red card on Wednesday night, and now I think it's just, I think the line is probably right where it should be. And unless, you know, the millions of people who are going to be watching this thing all flood their accounts with bets on USA and they drive it completely unbettable, then I think you're right. I think there's going to be value on Belgium at that point, which I hate to say it because I want USA to go. Imagine if we got USA and Mexico in the finale. And that's the best exact that we could ever root for. But I want them to win, but if there's value on the other side, like I'm with you. I had Bosnia plus 1.5 at a decent number. I think I laid 14 cents a juice. And then, you know, you tip your cap to Tillman. That's an all-time kick. And Bosnia had their chances a little bit after the red card and also like in the 95th minute. They just could not get one past the goalie. So there probably will be some value on Belgium eventually, but I would wait until, I mean, as close to kickoff as possible, I think, right?
Yep, certainly makes sense. Last couple before we get out of here. Major League Baseball, is there an award or future that interests you? I was doing the show on Monday and just, you know, you peek at it every day, every couple of days. I'm sure you do the same thing. Odd that basically the halfway point of the season, there were six odds on favorites for the major awards, both Rookie of the Year, both MVP, and both Cy Young. Schlittler got knocked around, so he went to plus money. But, man, I can't be laying odds on this time of the year, so I would think there's value if you find something somewhere. And I mentioned TJ Rumfield, NL Rookie of the Year, just because you look at him at 30-1 and, you know, Weatherholt, who's odds on. Rumfield's got better stats pretty much across the board. But I'll ask you, anything interests you right now from an awards perspective?
So let me check at the number right now. I added a little Caminero in the last few days. I got him at 18 and I added some more at 10 on him. I think he's down to about 7 right now. Would you still take Junior Caminero at 7-1? If you can find 10-1, I would absolutely grab 10-1. I grabbed that late last night.
10, yes. 7, I would probably be more indifferent just because still a lot of time left. Alvarez numbers are great. And I was just, I mean, I hate the idea that I missed the 31. I was looking, when Judge got hurt, I was looking, Rice crashed at 3-1. I have Rice 150-1. I was looking who to hedge with. Took some Kurtz at 11-1. I thought about Caminero 30-1. I know JVT brought that up too. I just didn't bet it for whatever reason, and I certainly regret that now.
Well, is there any way also in the NL MVP market, is there any way that Ohtani doesn't win? Because I took some PCA at 80-1 when he was in the middle of this hot streak.
I feel like this is an annual thing where we talk about this stuff, and it's just, it's almost like in NFL, we're like, oh, could this year be the year where a running back wins? And ultimately, the answer usually is no. So I'll say on Ohtani, barring catastrophe, Ohtani's going to win.
I would say if there's any like prediction market out there, like the market makers, make a market that is a winner without Ohtani. That's what I would do.
Because that'd be a fun one.
Here's what I do with PCA at 80-1. I put an amount of money on it, Will, that if he wins, I'm going to be super happy. If he doesn't, it's not like, I won't even think about it twice.
Right.
Because it's probably burning money and I probably need an injury to Ohtani. I also had PCA for my lungs last year, and then he faded late in the during that stretch, but he's so elite defensively, and his numbers have just been, I mean, he did something in June that only Garrick and Ruth had ever done in history. So maybe Ohtani pitches to a 4 ERA in the second half of the season and the offensive numbers are just not there. This is totally wishful thinking on my part. As for the other awards, absolutely no chance on earth I'm going to play a guy at minus 220 like Mizorowski to win the NL Cy Young, but if he stays healthy, how does he lose?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Football, NFL, last time we talked, I know you were high in the Lions. Have you added anything, either NFL or college?
Saints over win total, 7.5. I think top of my head, I laid 25 cents with that, and I bet them at close to 3-1 to win the South. I think that division is completely up for grabs. I also don't mind the Falcons, to be honest. I mean, their price is if they're the worst team in that division. Is that accurate to you? They're close to 5-1, but I like Shuck quite a bit. I really think that he was in the mix to win the Rookie of the Year last year. And I can say this, I can't prove it. If they went to him in week one rather than Rattler, Shuck was going to win that award. And he looked really good. And they also added a receiver in the first round. And I think Kellen Moore can be maybe worth a pop as well for Coach of the Year at around 14-1. So those are the two teams that I'm high on at this point. And then I have bet for positive outcomes, Detroit and New Orleans.
Every time we talk about the NFC South from last year, I just get so mad thinking about it. It was Thanksgiving week. I was doing pretty well betting college basketball. I took a shot on Atlanta, I think 125-1 to win the division. And they immediately lost to the Jets, a game they never should have lost. It was like, all right, out of sight, out of mind. They won every other game. Everything else broke perfectly except for that. So I guess it's a little more painless when it happens right away. But man, I was pretty close to hitting that one.
Oh, and then you had to watch them dominate the Rams for an entire half.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, no.
Of course. All right, last one. 4th of July. Food. What's on the menu? What are you cooking? What are you eating? Give us a little preview into you know, what the weekend looks like.
USA. USA. Come on, man. I'm all about the barbecue grill. I'm all about hot dogs, hamburgers, maybe throw a little steak on the grill as well. I love peppers. I love onions. I love mushrooms. Also, like, I will do this. I love doing it. My wife is also, I got a little lucky here. My wife has been a chef for a long time, and she kind of demands to take charge of the grill, which is a little offensive to me, because I want to be able to do it once in a while, but I'm not going to fight because she's awesome at it. So, and she is totally good with that, by the way. She loves to have like hot dogs and hamburgers on days like that. So that's what it's going to be about here at the Moss household. What about you?
Probably the same thing. Hot dogs, hamburgers, some steaks, a little barbecue chicken, and just enjoy it. Baseball will be on, watch a little World Cup. So it's, from a sports perspective, July 4th, usually one of the slower holidays. But again, this year's a little different.
Crazy. What do you do for sides? Are you beans guy? Do you do mac and cheese?
Probably some corn, something like that.
I like corn.
I got to step up my side game, I would say.
Okay. Fair enough. I like them. I like beans. I like mac and cheese. Do I crave it? Absolutely not.
I'm with you. I'll eat if it's in front of me, but prepping it, cooking it, going out of my way, like you said it well. I don't crave it.
You know what I like? Give me some good, like restaurant style chips and some like dynamite salsa or pico de gallo, a little guacamole, and I'm like the happiest man in the world.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Mitch.
Hi, buddy.
Follow the money, Pod to the Future. What else? What'd I miss?
No, that's good. Pod to the Futures, I do it with JVT once a week. Usually drops Monday night, Tuesday morning, and then Follow the Money weekdays on VSiN at 4 o'clock Eastern time.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you guys for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. We will be back Monday, which airs Sunday night, 11 Eastern at night, VSiN. So that'll be in your podcast feed as usual, though, Monday morning, 6 o'clock. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the holiday. Rate, review, subscribe. See you Monday.